Chinese criminal mastermind, Dr. Fu Manchu, first appeared in print in 1913. The series of books which followed were bestsellers. On the page and in the cinema, the intensely brilliant, though devious, Fu Manchu helped shape the popular image of China in the West.
You have been tried and condemned of crimes almost without number. Death to Fu Manchu.
He may now appear a rather clichéd kind of villain with his long moustache and pigtail and old-fashioned oriental garb, but for at least 40 years, cinema audiences found Fu Manchu irresistible.
He's cruel, callous, brilliant, and the most evil and dangerous man in the world.
His creator was Arthur Ward. Born in Birmingham, Ward started out writing for the music hall. His career as a novelist took off after he adopted the pen name Sax Roma, meaning in Old English, he claimed, freelance. Fu Manchu is his only creation remembered today.
Once, and once only hitherto, had I seen the Mandarin Fu Manchu. He had impressed me then as one of the most gigantic forces ever embodied in human form. His eyes, which were green as the eyes of a leopard, fixed me with a glance so piercing that it extended my powers to the full to sustain it. No man with any experience of humanity could have doubted that he stood in the presence of a supermind.
Cultural historian Sir Christopher Frayling has written a book about the Fu Manchu phenomenon.
They hit a nerve. There were all sorts of anxieties about China in the Edwardian period. Tensions at home, lots of strikes by seamen in London's Dockland and in Liverpool about cheap Chinese labour. Too many of them coming in and they're taking our jobs and they're undercutting us. And abroad, this feeling that the rising dragon was on the march and this had become a threat to Europe. And what Roma was very good at was embodying anxieties in an individual.
Dr. Fu Manchu stood up and moved with his lithe, dignified gait to one of the glass cases. This would suffice. The liquid preparation, he held up a small flask containing a colourless fluid, is not so rapid. I watched his lean yellow neck and the scanty neutral-coloured hair beneath his skullcap, the gaunt, cat-like poise of the tall figure. He opened a leather case which lay upon the table and extracted a hypodermic syringe. He stepped towards me.
You know, Chinese are thought to be inscrutable, fiendishly clever, speak perfect English when they learn it. You can always tell the baddies in thrillers because they get the grammar right. And they're sort of rather specific characteristics. And when Fu Manchu appears in his silken robe with a marmoset on his shoulder and a muffled gong to signal his arrival because he has a strong sense of the dramatic, there's a whole cluster of images that are associated very specifically with China.
In 1905, Japan had won a war against Russia. European nations realised they might not always be masters of the modern world. And it was Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany who popularised a term not in favour today, which journalists seized on, says Dr. Amy Mathewson of the School of Oriental and African Studies in London.
There is this constant idea of a threat of Asia conquering the Western countries. And this idea was disseminated with Kaiser Wilhelm, and he called it the Yellow Peril, Western countries looking over across the ocean and seeing an Asian nations coming over to conquer Europe.
Sax Roma echoed anti-Chinese feeling, which in 1913 was common in British newspapers, although at the time the total Chinese population in Britain was at most a few thousand.
The number of Chinese people in the KA was negligible, which actually makes stereotyping against them quite easy, as most people would have not encountered a Chinese person. And so when there's these constructions of the other in the press, in the media, it's being disseminated. People believed it because they had no other chance to encounter a Chinese person, probably befriend them, And the Limehouse area of London, which Sacks-Rohmer liked to engage with, the small Chinese community were vilified as opium smokers, opium dealers. There was a lot of anxiety in terms of Chinese people coming and taking jobs. And then there was that fear of Chinese men marrying and having sexual relations with white women. So there's all these anxieties and fears that are being distilled and manifested in Fu Manchu.
Rohmer continued to write the novels until his death in 1959. As with Sherlock Holmes or James Bond, it's hard to disentangle Fu Manchu's popularity in print from his many screen incarnations. The first silent films had been made in Britain in the early 20s. By 1940, when The Drums of Fu Manchu came out, he'd been taken up in a big way by Hollywood.
Fu Manchu is here in California?
Precisely.
I thought you'd run him to earth in Burma.
So did the Foreign Office.
What deviltry is he up to now?
The most stupendous crime of his career. Nothing less than the conquest of Asia and the annihilation of every man who does not bow to his will.
There are very few recordings of the author Sacks-Rohmer speaking. This is him in a supposedly humorous US newsreel in the early 1930s.
Hello? Yes? This is Sacks-Rohmer. Oh, I should be delighted to give you an interview by telephone. Oh, I find you, you're highly civilized. By the way, Al Capone has been arrested. Yes. Goodbye.
It was Hollywood which made Fu Manchu world famous, yet some of the films of the 1930s and 40s reveal attitudes many will find hard to take today. Christopher Frayling again.
The seriously racist elements of the Fu Manchu stories are carried into the cultural bloodstream through the movies rather than through the novels. And there was an entire genre of rather racist thrillers set in and around Chinatown, which, in fact, I think what Rohmer had done was take American stories about Chinatown and transposed them to London. So in a way, it all started in America, and then it went back to America with Hollywood. It's white slavery, undercutting American labour, some fiendish plot to take over the American government. Chinese are thought to be very, very good at science, so they're very good at death rays and esoteric poisons and things like that. So all of that is projected onto Chinatown in America. When Hollywood got hold of it, it became even more racist than it was in the originals.
Some see parallels between Fu Manchu and later fictional villains, such as those from the typewriter of the man who invented 007.
Ian Fleming, the author of James Bond, admitted that all his villains were basically based on Sacks-Rohmer's stories, which he'd read as a young boy at Eton and at his prep school. And if you look at the rather outrageous characteristics of Bond's villains, they always have a disability and they always have some strange sort of defining characteristic. You know, it's very much school of Sacks-Rohmer writing.
Perhaps surprisingly, as late as 1973, Fu Manchu became a character in Marvel Comics, father to superhero Shang-Chi. But recently, in the Marvel film Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, he's finally been written out. Is it possible we've seen the last of the evil genius first written about long ago in Edwardian England? Christopher Frayling says, don't bet on it.
The big question is, will he be reappropriated? There's a great tendency these days, rather than just discredit these things, to try and reappropriate them. So could it happen with a racial stereotype? He's polite, he's honourable in his way, and he's ripe for reappropriation as a very positive image of China. Maybe, maybe one day, we're going to see Fu Manchu as the hero of a series of films.
Sir Christopher Frayling talking to me, Vincent Dowd, for Witness History. You can sign up for a free daily download of our history programmes. Just search for BBC Witness History.